You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yo. Yo. Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we bout to party, we bout to party. Unrestricted, got the house now, we gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing and the freaks are coming out now.
Welcome everyone to another edition of AEW Unrestricted. Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards together with you once again. What's up, Aubrey?
Hi, hello, how are you?
Good.
Not like I wasn't just talking to you for the last hour.
I know. But,
you know.
Yeah, we talk a lot, and there's good reasons, because we are a part of All Elite Wrestling that you see each and every...
And we love each other.
And we do. Each and every Wednesday and each and every Friday, as well as our YouTube variations as well. We're very happy to have Mark Sterling with us. What's up, Mark?
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I also love talking, so let's rock and roll.
Yes, I know you do. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The most famous professional wrestling lawyer in the world, Mark Sterling, is with us.
Thank you very much.
First of all, Friday night street fight on Rampage. How's the neck doing?
It's feeling better. Obviously, I toughed it out this week. Made it to Minneapolis, you know, with a hurt neck. But, you know, I'm doing what I can for my clients. You know what I'm saying?
That's great. That's great. You know, we see a lot of billboards out there about doing things for their clients.
Right.
Especially in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yes. Not many lawyers will say, hey, I'll take a choke slam through a table from Keith Lee for my clients.
Exactly.
Right.
I know. Finally, somebody gets it.
Yeah, I do.
Or a brain buster on the floor. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Ridiculous.
Or a cake to the face.
Yes. Yes.
Which I do need to say.
Yes.
And I know you probably don't feel this way. Uh-huh. To me, one of the most entertaining segments we have ever done.
Oh, my God.
Well, I appreciate that. Hell of a caking. Swerve is a professional when it comes to getting cake on a face,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So hats off to him on that. It was a sheet cake. Sometimes that doesn't really stick, but he got it to stick, man.
Yes, he did. And from a person who had worked with Bobby the Brain Heenan for many years, and Bobby took many, many cakes of the face. He right. did. It doesn't compare with that one. That was one of the best.
Thank you.
It was one of the best cake shocks ever. It really was.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you. Yeah.
So, we actually had Swerve on recently, and he described your face as very cakeable.
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, it's a word we've added to the nomenclature of wrestling. So that's
right. Yeah. I'm going to take that as a compliment. So thanks, Swerve.
Oh, I would. I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people have cakeable faces? We have one. You're unique. A person of one.
And it's been two times in AEW, and you know, that number will probably climb. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just avoid the parties. We do have a party in catering every month for birthdays. I'm going to make sure that I'm not there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Just have Leva text you like, hey, I just bought the cake for the birthdays. And you just know to avoid catering that day.
Exactly.
I'll go grab you one of the vegan cookies she picks up for us. And
perfect.
Just be like, here you go. So you can enjoy and participate without fear that cake's ended up in your face.
Exactly.
All right. So want to talk a little bit about your current clients.
Yeah.
Representing Josh Woods, the Technical Beast, Tony Nese. They had a match against Swerve in Our Glory. Your clients did not win, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of action do you plan as a result?
You know, I was actually very impressed with Josh just in general, mm-hmm. you know, in that
He's
match.
He's so good.
Yeah. You know, to be totally honest, I hadn't seen much of Josh until he came to AEW and started doing dark matches. And that was kind of like his first real big match with AEW. So I was very impressed. And, you know, of course, Tony, I mean, to be honest, I go way back with Tony. I lived on Long Island for a long time. So, you know, I knew him from the indie circuit. You know, he helped us out a lot coming up in the business. So teaming with Tony has been great. And it was like an instant fit, I feel, you know, because we're both comfortable with each other. I think that very recently, as of late, Tony Nese has shown that he can hang. And this is not any hyperbole or hyperbole, however you want to say it. I think Tony Nese can hang with anybody in AEW. And I truly believe that as a human being. And he showed that in many main events on Rampage. I'm looking forward to see what he also can do.
I particularly loved his match with Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
That one was a fun one.
Absolutely.
And not only that, and Aubrey, you brought this up. I think it's a good point. There's sometimes when we put a couple of guys together and they walk to the ring together as a new team, you're not so sure if they fit. Hmm. But when Josh and Tony were walking with you with them, I looked at that visual and I'm thinking, you know what? That works.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. That works. I think it's a good team going forward.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. You know, they're both two sort of entirely different individuals,
mm-hmm.
As far as wrestling styles, personalities. But it's, you know, so far it's been great, and we're all in it to win it, I guess, as you could say. So we're working hard to make this team, or just like affiliation, as good as it possibly can.
In it to win it. Sounds like lawyer talk to me.
Yeah. Well, yes, of course. We're always in it to win it.
That's right.
In the court of law.
That's right.
As a ringside consultant.
Yes.
You know, in contract negotiations. Whatever you want.
Consultant, contract, I love yes. it. Aubrey, yes. Your turn. Okay.
Yes, yes. So I'm kind of curious, just maybe like little inside baseball, but how did the tag team of Josh and Tony come together? Was that TK concoction or was that?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He's got an eye for tag teams.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think that both of these guys can be great singles wrestlers as well. So I want to represent them as best as I can in as a team. Or in singles wrestling. So, we'll see what happens. We haven't named the team, although somebody on Twitter said Brains, Brawn, and Beast.
Oh.
So I was thinking like B3 or something like that. There's a cool logo there, maybe. Don't trademark that, anybody out there.
I like that, yeah.
Brains, Brawn, and so which one are you?
I'm definitely Brawn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
We are talking with Mark Sterling here on AEW Unrestricted. And Mark, we first saw you. You made your debut back in 2020 on Dynamite,
mm-hmm.
representing MJF against Jon Moxley. And I remember, because I didn't know you at all at that time, I remember watching that and thinking, man, that son of a bitch can talk.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was a very good angle that they did with having you involved with MJF and Jon Moxley. I thought it worked out very well.
Right. Well, yeah, I appreciate it. You know, Max and I went to the same wrestling school. So
right.
When the opportunity came up in an angle that there's a lawyer involved, you know, obviously he said, I got the guy.
Right.
So that's when I came down. I mean, this was height of COVID, too. I don't think I had left the house. I hadn't taken a wrestling booking at all for months and months. So this was a big deal. It was actually, I think, my first flight in wrestling. So
wow.
Yeah, and you know, I got a whole minute in that promo to do what I could. You know, I think we killed it, and then the match was the next. We had the contract signing, which I had a little spot in that, and then the match. So it was super fun. I thought sort of that was it, and I rode off into the sunset. But it was not it.
Right.
It was not it.
I thought it was. Thought it was great. Like we talk a lot about. There's 2 hours on TV, and all of those minutes and seconds are precious. So to get a minute of mic time is insane. It's a great testament to the work you did prior to AEW that you can just come in and be trusted with something like that. And kudos to you, man.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, I owe that to MJF sort of for trusting me in that. And I don't think anybody, he knew me so well, he knew that I could handle that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a taped promo and then it was a live promo. It was actually live on TV was the contract signing. I jumped the gun. I didn't really, this was my first time on live TV, and I was supposed to start this contract signing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking before, if you watch it, I'm sort of mid-sentence when they finally turn my mic on. So I did kind of mess up, but I don't think anybody really noticed, except for me.
You also have some pretty great suits that you wear.
Oh, thank you very much.
You and, of course, Pat Buck behind the scenes and Sanjay behind the scenes are always dressed up. Who's better wearing suits?
Oh, well, Pat is, for sure.
Yeah.
Although I do like Sanjay's new style of the suit with the Jordans. I'm sort of jealous. I wish that I could.
Big fan of that.
I wish I could do that. Pat is, I got a lot of advice from Pat when I started wearing suits weekly. Mm-hmm. And I think he said this on the podcast that he's not a custom suit guy. He sort of gets it off the rack and then gets it tailored. So that was one of the things he told me to do. I did get a few custom suits off the bat, but very expensive. Mm-hmm. But now I've been getting them. This is my little secret. Express has some great suits, like really interesting colors. And they're also stretchy, so way more comfortable.
Oh.
I call those my working suits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, maybe if there's a street fight, you got to wear the stretchy suit because if shit hits the fan in my custom suit, that thing's splitting right up the crotch.
Yeah. Stretchy suit.
Yeah.
So you should give that advice to Andrade. I know he's run into that a couple times.
I know. He's always wearing those nice tight suits and yeah, he's getting thrown all over the place.
Yeah. Jeez, man. So you've recently had some issues with Danhausen.
Yes.
Which I absolutely loved, like you and Tony versus Hookhausen at Double or Nothing and the buy-in. It was just a really, really fun match. How did that whole thing come together? How did your hatred for Danhausen start?
Well, he's mean. I mean, guys, he tells everybody he's evil. He's evil.
Yeah.
He cheats. He steals. He hits people in below the belt. I'm trying to save AEW here.
Yeah.
From people who are untrustworthy and evil, and I'm the bad guy. I honestly don't understand. So,
you know what? I got to side with you on this because we always say very nice or very evil.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Very evil.
I know.
Yeah.
Tony.
What do you expect? He's a fucking ghoul.
Yes.
Okay. That's what he is. He's a ghoul.
I know. I've been saying this. I mean,
anybody who wants to curse somebody is not very nice.
Exactly. He stole my tie out of my bag and sold it. That's what he did. Kept the money. That's for real. That's for real. It's all over on the internet.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And then I get hit in the nuts and I'm the jerk.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But no, it was fun.
It wouldn't surprise me he didn't get you to autograph that tie first so he could sell it for a lot more money.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No, no. Hell, he is. All right. We're talking with Mark Sterling, who, by the way, is an avid collector of action figures, as you can see if you're watching the video. And he has a podcast to prove it. We're going to talk about that, your start in wrestling, your departure, and your return to wrestling. When we continue, this is AEW Unrestricted.
This is AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. We've got Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards talking to Mark Sterling, Esquire, lawyer at AEW, representing a multitude of clients. But I want to take a step back. Talk about sort of your wrestling background and your start in wrestling. I think 2001 to 2007, you wrestled as the Dude Mark Malibu.
Oh, man. I thought I scrubbed that information from the internet.
Okay. Well, now it's all there again.
Yes.
I've undone all of your scrubbing. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I started training in high school, you know, when I was 18. I was obsessed with wrestling as a kid, obviously. You know, we did backyard wrestling. And I was very into, you know, I liked doing it, I guess, but I was really into the production side of it. So,
right.
You know, we used my grandmother's VHS tape. Tony knows what that is. Some of the people listening probably don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't have the digital editing technology. So I had to shoot each segment. So if it's a pre-tape to start the show, you got to shoot that. Then you shoot the first match. Then you go backstage with the camera. But I loved putting that whole thing together and making the run sheets of the backyard wrestling. Whereas most of the kids just wanted to throw each other around on the mattresses. But I was really into that. And then a friend of mine that I wrestled with in the backyard, wrestling fans know him as Mikazi. He's had some success. He's a really great seamster in wrestling. He said, hey, I found a wrestling school. And I said, first of all, what is that? What do you mean a wrestling school?
People learn how to do this shit?
Yeah. I was like, that's weird. But I never sort of in my mind thought that I wanted to sort of be in wrestling or on camera. But he said, I need a ride. He didn't have a ride. So I said, oh, I'll give you a ride.
That's the most carny shit I've heard in a long time.
Right. Yeah. He didn't drive for forever. But he said, I need a ride. And I'm like, well, I'll get to see a wrestling ring up. Maybe I'll get to touch it. Right. That's what I was thinking. So I'll go. I'll watch you train. And I think the wrestling teacher, it was Kevin Landry at the time, he just thought I was there to train too. So I got in the ring, and the first day he did this thing where he would make the first day people do 100 bumps. That's what you did. And if you came back, then that was kind of like the initiation.
Oh my God.
So I, not even knowing that I was going to do it, I think I was wearing cargo shorts, you know, like a t-shirt, and I did 100 bumps and I made it. I got through it. And then I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep coming back. So that was that. And then I started my wrestling career, I guess, back then.
You stopped in 2007.
Yes.
To get your master's.
Yes.
What, talk about that decision to give up wrestling and go back to school.
To be totally honest, I was a horrible wrestler. I was really bad. I did not try like most people would try. I did not give it my all. I was not in shape. I really, looking back, I can't even believe I got booked. So, you know, and I was just kind of doing it in these little indies for a long time. And 2007 was a real bad year. My dad passed away. And then I had a dead end job at the time. You know, I graduated college with a media arts degree, but I was doing nothing. I worked in the basement of a hospital. My office was right next to the morgue. Mm. That's sort of all I did. And I just sort of had to break myself out of that.
Right.
And I applied to grad schools, to film school, which is, you know, like I said, I was always interested in the production side of things. So I got in to Hofstra University. I moved to New York in 2008. And when I moved, I kind of just had no wrestling connection. Also, I just wanted to really focus on the grad school program, which was 3 years. It was pretty extensive. And just sort of try hard at something. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially why I quit wrestling. And when I was doing that, my third year of grad school, I started working for a filmmaker named Marshall Curry, and he is a documentary filmmaker, and he was nominated for 2 Oscars. He just won an Oscar for a short film, actually.
Damn.
And when I was working for him, I was working on a film called If a Tree Falls, Story of the Earth Liberation Front. And I came in as that was being edited and was an assistant editor on that, and it was nominated for an Oscar. But my time with Marshall was so eye-opening, because this is a man who was at the top of his craft, an Oscar-nominated filmmaker. And seeing how he succeeded every day and what he had to do, the work that he had to do, the focus that he had to have to be successful at what he wanted to be successful at, was literally life-changing for me. Hmm. So after that, I said, what if I took this newfound appreciation for hard work and understanding of what it needs, what you need to do to be successful, right, and tried my hand at something in pro wrestling again? So that's when I went back to Creator Pro, and that's when things really took off.
How do you think the business has changed during your absence?
Oh man, well, it's way more understanding. You know, there's way less bullying. There's way less gatekeeping.
Yeah.
It's more acceptable to be a fan of wrestling. I felt like for years I was hiding the fact that I was a fan. I know, yeah.
Like everyone in the business is a fan, but there was that idea of like, oh, you can't be a fan of wrestling. It's like, how can I fucking not be a fan of wrestling? I do this every day.
I think the first lesson that we were told is don't wear like wrestling shirts to class. And then when I walked into Creator Pro, you know, the head trainer, Brian Myers, is there wearing an Uso shirt. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's rock. That I think it's just more fun and more accepting. And then, to be totally honest, I came back in 2015, and even since then, we're talking 2022, I feel like the business has changed drastically and for the better.
No question.
Yeah.
We were just actually on another podcast, Aubrey and I were talking about it, how it's changed for the better on many levels. We're talking to Mark Sterling. Mark, so let's talk about Creator Pro. How did you find out Creator Pro? And of course, it's Brian Myers, who you do a podcast with, and it's Pat Buck, who works behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Talk about your involvement with that.
So I just, you know, like I said, I was living on Long Island, and I wanted to try this wrestling thing again, and I looked up wrestling schools. It was the best, you know, definitely the best one near me.
Right.
And I just sort of went and I applied myself. Man, am I lucky, because if I was just like in Topeka, Kansas or something like that, I probably wouldn't have ended up in such a great school. I don't know if there's any great wrestling schools in Topeka, Kansas. Sorry. But I just so happened to be next to one of the greatest wrestling schools in America. And then the other thing is, too, that first class at Creative Pro, Max Caster, Kristen Statlander, MJF, myself, Bear Bronson.
Wow.
Anthony Bones was in New Jersey, so affiliated with us. Bear Boulder also. That was our first class, you know, among other people with Brian Myers, you know, and Pat Buck, who you heard his story a couple weeks ago on this podcast, trained by literally the best in the biz. So I think part of the reason, you know, you get these two great trainers. We call them mom and dad, right? Brian's the mom, Pat's the dad. Mm-hmm. You get a little nicer. You got the good cop, bad cop situation. We all pushed each other. We're seeing what's working for him. We're seeing what's working for her. Well, he got booked there, so we got to get booked there.
Right.
And that this it was like all of us helping each other with training, extra training, but also pushing each other, driving with each other. It was a hell of a group. And I think sort of we all owe each other any of our success. That's my opinion.
That's great. I friggin' love hearing those stories where everyone's just sort of building each other up. Like, that's the kind of shit you want to hear about in wrestling.
Yes. Yes. It definitely is a family, and it still is, you know, and there's great guys coming out of Creative Pro right now. Pat was talking about it. And it still is like that. There's no negativity. Everyone's pushing each other to be better. It's such a great community. I don't live in New York anymore, and I'm far away from it. And it's sort of, I have a lot of FOMO because of that.
The FOMO's real, man.
Yes.
So I actually didn't know about your video background.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense because your commercials that you do on social media are excellent.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, how has the video and audio production background helped in the social media world?
Oh, well, obviously, I mean, my first goal in wrestling was to, I used to love those packages in like 96, 97, those pay-per-view packages that just told such an awesome story. I literally said my job when I get older, I want to make those pay-per-view packages. So that's why I went into film. I had no desire to like make movies at the time, but I wanted to edit pay-per-view packages. But I've always loved to shoot things with my friends. Like I said, the backyard wrestling, we used to do music videos, weird things like that. So obviously it helped a lot. And then when I got back into wrestling, like I said, Creative Pro 2015, I knew that I needed to create content. And I had the wherewithal to create content, but I was also helping the guys. I helped, you know, MJF, Kristen, Max, everybody. We all helped each other with our skills. So I just wanted to provide the value that I could to anybody that I could, which Creative Pro too. I started doing the social media, started editing their videos, doing the, you know, the packages for the shows. And everyone's just helping everybody. And then that's sort of, I struggled a lot getting booked. And I'm not talking about like how everybody struggles, like, you know, we all drive far away to the shows, but I'm saying I had a hard time getting booked because, you know, I'm a gray haired, you know, 37 year old man at the time trying to wrestle. So one of the ways that I did that was providing social media clips, highly produced videos for the promotions, making their promotion better. So I knew that I needed to provide value to, you know, independent promotions, to Creative Pro, to my friends, to peers. So that was sort of my goal and my way into the biz for a while.
Mark, interesting follow-up question to this. What do you use to edit with video?
Final Cut. Okay. I actually edit everything on Final Cut. I do the podcast and that too because, you know, it's video and audio. And that's kind of what I learned in school.
Right. I use Premiere Pro and then the editing on the iPhone is pretty easy too.
For sure.
Hell, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
iMovie.
I don't know why more people don't. That's my big thing to wrestling school kids is try to figure out the content you're creating on social media because that's going to really help you get over.
Yeah. You also are co-host of Major Wrestling Figures podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Myers and the great Matt Cardona.
Yes. Deathmatch King.
Yes.
Deathmatch King, yes.
How did this action figure collection start for you? When did this all start?
It was actually a huge part of my childhood. I can't remember doing much other than playing with Legos and collecting Star Wars and Marvel action figures and, you know, wrestling figures too, doing the Fig Fed stuff. You know, we used to book myself and my best friend, Steve Negron, we used to book the Hasbros and the Gloobs together and do pay-per-views, you know, how we would sort of write TV, you know, and we're talking, you know, fifth, sixth grade, stuff like that. So just love doing that. But I also had like Marvel Fig Feds, I guess. You know, I wrote my own comics with the X-Men and the Avengers. I made my own Avengers team. So that's what I loved about playing with toys and things like that. And then obviously you get older, and I sold all of those toys. And then when you get more older and you start to have expendable income and you get nostalgic for these toys that you had as a kid that shaped your childhood, essentially sent you in the direction that you are in your life, mm-hmm. that's when it becomes very fun to recollect those things or collect the new things that pay tribute to those memories. That's when I started recollecting the wrestling figures, and then that expanded to the comics and the, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men and all that.
So we've got more fan questions coming up in our last segment, but kind of want to jump ahead to this one since we're on the topic of action figures. But Captain Falstaff on Twitter asks, what is your non-Star Wars, non-wrestling action figure holy grail?
Oh, man, that's tough because Star Wars and wrestling are my big deals. I also have TMNT figures.
Yes.
I just recently bought a 1988 mint on card Donatello. It's beautiful. It's the first run Donatello that came out when I was a kid. I think that I would like to get all four turtles. Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Raphael, I would love to get the original run, mint on card, beautiful condition packaging. I would love to have all four of them. So I guess that's my holy grail.
We're talking with Mark Sterling, and we're talking about action figures. When did this podcast begin for you guys?
Well, actually, our four-year anniversary is next week.
Wow.
Congrats.
And that's a big deal. So 4 years ago from today, you know, what it was, 2018, it was in August. And, you know, the guys were both wrestling for the competitor. And they just decided, first of all, these two guys are, Matt and Brian, are the most knowledgeable wrestling action figure people on planet Earth. And I would challenge anybody to match them on their knowledge of the action figure, wrestling action figure world.
Okay.
So they're literally, that's the perfect two guys to make a podcast. And I think Brian tweeted like in July or something, hey, would you guys like if me and Matt made a wrestling podcast? And I saw it. And at the time I was Brian's student, and I was helping him a little bit with Creative Pro, doing the social media or whatever. So we didn't have like we were friends, but not great friends. And I immediately texted him. I showed him that tweet and I said, bro, this is going to be a success. If you do it, let me help. A couple of months later, they're like, let's rock and roll on this. I was the person who asked to help. And then they were like, can you help us get it off the ground? And I had sort of worked on a couple other podcasts before, and I knew how to get them on iTunes, you know, Spotify, start them, where to upload it, how to edit it, what else we needed. So we got them rolling, you know, in a week or so. Yeah, the rest is history. 4 years later, we've got great fans. It's very rewarding. I get to travel a lot with them. We just went to Comic-Con. It's been great.
You guys are absolutely killing it with this action figure podcast, and I love all of the other action figure tendrils that sort of eke out with Ethan Page and doing appearances at action figure comic book shops. Like, you guys
so
are just
fun.
Killing it.
Yeah.
You guys are killing it.
The toy hunts on YouTube are great, and Ethan's... It's like a whole nother world to that. So there's a lot of wrestlers that have collections out there. I think collecting has just taken off as a hobby, really. It's very, very acceptable nowadays.
Very, very acceptable. And I think kind of, as you said, like once you become an adult and you've got the expendable income, it's like, oh, I'm going to buy all those toys that I wanted to buy as a kid.
Yes.
That
yes.
I couldn't before, but now I'm going to spend thousands
or video
dollars.
Games or dolls or whatever the thing that you liked.
Yeah, just do whatever you want. Be you, man. Whatever makes you happy.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Mark Sterling on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up, we got lots and lots of fan questions.
AEW Unrestricted continues. Tony and Aubrey along with smart Mark Sterling, who not only we have found out is a fine wrestling lawyer, but he is also a great video editor and producer. He works on one of the top podcasts out there, major wrestling figure podcasts. Along with Brian Myers and Matt Cardona. And as you can tell, he knows what he's doing, because you can tell, you watch the video, it's all professional. If you're listening to the audio, you're thinking, wow, that sounds really good.
Nice. Yeah. Now, hopefully nothing messed up, and it actually does sound good.
No, it sounds great. It really
great.
Does.
I got yeah. my lights on.
Tremendous.
So, yeah. Wild, man.
Really professional. All right, here we go. Fan questions.
Lots of smart Mark Sterling fans out there, by the way.
Apparently there are.
Hot selling shirt right here.
Yeah.
I'm billing you for this conversation.
Okay.
By the way, I'll send you guys the invoice after this.
Cool. I'll rip it up, much like the business cards you had me in the ring.
Yeah. First question comes from Jose. It says, Mark, you suck.
Jose?
No, I'm kidding. See, I only said that because you said there was a lot of Mark Sterling fans.
Got it.
I was lying. Okay. First question.
If that was Jose the assistant, we're great friends, me and Jose the assistant. So
really?
Yeah.
No, I'm glad he has friends.
Yeah, we got to stick together.
At Real Steve V! Exclamation point. I'm so glad to see managers return to prominence, and your unique take is creative and modern. If your schedule allows it, any possibility of working on Darker Elevation to see how younger or prospect talents work with a manager? I'd like to see more storylines on those. Obviously, Real Steve is a booker in his part-time and his spare time as well.
Right, yeah.
So,
well, I'm there, you know. I'm there at every Orlando taping. So, you know, I think that was part of the deal. Like, me and Tony first scouted Josh Woods there at Dark. You know, that's when we sort of saw him.
Right.
And I think that we'll have a lot to do coming up on some of these Dark shows. I look forward to them either in singles competition or SEP as a team. And, of course, I would love to help anybody possible in professional wrestling reach their goals. So if there is more people that would like to be represented by Smart Mark Sterling, 1-347 Smart 40, and that's the number to call if you would like to be represented.
Wow. Smart 40 is like your Google Voice number. How'd you freaking come up with this?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you know, that goes to my my secretary and my hotline. So
gotcha. I was not aware you had a hotline, but that's good to know.
Yeah,
I don't read your business cards that you hand me. I literally just toss.
Yeah, I give you the business card every time you do the match. My number's right there.
Right, and then as soon as you turn around, I throw it out of the ring. Front row, who's pops for it? It's great. All right, got a question from Ben White on Twitter. Which hurt most, being punched in the groin by Danhausen or being thrown through a table by Keith Lee?
The groin, for sure. And then not only that, after that, I got punched in the groin again and punched by Orange Cassidy and got beat up by FTR after the show went off the air. So that was a terrible night. That was one of the worst nights of my life. Danhausen is an asshole.
As we've already established. Oops,
I don't even know if I could say that. You're going to bleep that. Sorry.
Yeah,
I want to make that shirt.
Danhausen is an asshole.
Yes.
Top seller.
Yes.
This is from AEW Showcase. It's a very involved question. AEW Showcase wants to know, is AEW an unsafe working environment for your clients? And would you consider an injunction to shut down show operations until satisfactory safety measures are implemented?
Yeah, well, I've been trying. I have paperwork in most cities. Because I seem to get beat up everywhere. I don't know if it's unsafe for my clients,
right?
More so as it's unsafe for me.
That's true.
I'm just out there trying to, you know, be a good consultant, and I'm just getting attacked from behind all over the place. So,
right.
Yes, it's very unsafe for me. I mean, how many? I've been wearing a neck brace basically the entire year.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm trying my best to sort of take action. And we're trying to get rid of Swerve, you know, trying to take out Danhausen. I'm trying to do the right thing here, people.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Tony.
He's working hard, trying to get rid of people, getting rid of assholes.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. Got a question from Russell Light on Twitter. Mark, when you go to a new city, do you go suit shopping in the same way that the Young Bucks go shoe shopping?
I do not. Actually, like you said, we love to hit. Our thing is to hit the toy shop.
Yeah.
We try to find the hot local vintage toy shop. And it's not just any toy store. We don't necessarily want to go see the FYEs, you know, I'm dating myself there. You know, like there's a lot of toy shops out there that have the modern toys, like the things that are out now. And those are cool. And I do collect that stuff. But what we really want to hit in the towns are those vintage shops, because you never know what you can find in the world of vintage. Like I said, I've been looking for these Ninja Turtles. You can't just find them. They're not just on eBay all the time, but you could walk into a store in Topeka, Kansas, and there's Leonardo right there staring at me. So that's the fun of going to the vintage shops, the thrill of the hunt. That's what we try to do. I bring my suits. My suits are pressed and clean in my bag. I'm not going to go buy a new one in the city.
Michael Kenrick wants to know, what's been your favorite Smart Mark merch made so far, and why is it Major Bendy's?
Oh, well, actually, I really love this shirt. I'm billing you for this conversation. I think that people, I think a lot of people bought it because they just wanted to wear it to like Thanksgiving, you know, and like show it off to their mom or their uncle. I'm not sure if they're big Smart Mark Sterling fans. So that's the key to a good shirt. But Major Bendy's is a toy line that the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast sort of launched. It's like a tribute to the old school Bendems from the 90s that were like, cheaper versions of the toys that were in the stores. They've been just doing such a great job with that toy line. Like I said, these guys know what they're talking about with wrestling figures, and they're trying to make these things as best as they can. So they've been killing it. And there is a Smart Mark Sterling Major Bendy, which is sold out. So I appreciate it, everybody.
There you go. It's always good to have sold out merch.
Yes.
I feel like this question is very involved and clearly from a fan who knows your background extensively.
Okay.
Jeff Say asks, Marcus served as the everyman voice on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast since its inception 4 years ago, back when he had a 9-to-5 like everyone else. How does he intend to maintain that personality when he has people holding planes for him now?
Well, I've heard this. You know, back in the day, these guys are world-traveled wrestlers, very successful wrestlers. So they're talking about buying these $10,000 Moonbelly Kamala figures. Whereas I'm like, I'm going to wait until that figure goes on clearance at Target for $17 instead of $20 so I can save $3. And there's a lot of collectors out there that part of the fun of it is to find deals, you know, and wait. And should I wait on this figure? Should I get it now? I kind of was that voice. Like these guys are like, I'm just going to buy it. And I'm like, well, I'm going to wait or something like that. But you know, things have changed. Obviously, I have a couple of incomes. I represent some great clients and things have sort of changed. I still don't spend like Matt spends. Matt has figures worth $25,000 in his collection. So it's insane. And I do not have that, but I try to be the voice of reason on that podcast between those two people still. And the whole the plane thing is when I first started traveling, these guys won't let me live anything down ever. But me and Brian were stuck on a plane from New York. Broski was on the one that we needed to connect to. We were not getting off. The plane was going to take off. And I said very innocently in a text, Broski, can you ask them to hold the plane? I just thought that maybe if he asked nicely, they would wait a couple minutes. Nobody has let me live that down, you know, since, and it's been 3 years.
Wow.
Now I know you can't really hold the plane for people. I understand. But as a new traveler, I did not.
It's very very naive.
Yes. Yes.
It's about as naive as it can get.
Well, yeah, now I realize it.
Yeah, okay. Mark Bitters, so what's your favorite all-time video game system and game?
I think Super Nintendo. That's the one I'm most nostalgic for.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's sort of like the one I spent the most time on. I don't have one. Maybe I should get a vintage one. That would be cool. But you know, you can play all those games now anyway on like the DS, and
they got preloaded ones. You know, they got their own, the old what looks like the Super Nintendo, but it's all preloaded.
Right. Yes, and you can play it on the Switch. So
right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super Nintendo for sure.
Nintendo's real good about releasing the same game multiple times and selling it to you every single time.
Yes.
Real, real good at it.
And I did love this the N64 wrestling games, and I'm very excited for the AEW game that's coming out because it's a throwback to that. So
sure.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I got a question from Brandon Teachman. Mark has done some really interesting stuff inside and outside of the ring. What are you most proud of?
Man, I'm really happy to have this career in wrestling. I was always kind of a person that had small goals. So I would make a goal. My first goal in wrestling was to have a wrestling match. Okay, so I got that. That's the next goal. Have a good wrestling match. Okay.
I like the separation between the two. I respect
it. Right. And then, you know, it goes from there. So I didn't really have the goal of working in professional wrestling as a career for a long time. It just came out of nowhere. Sometimes you think it came out of nowhere. So I'm happy to have that. I'm very proud of the work that I've been able to do in AEW. Sort of a dream come true. So I appreciate that. The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, starting from nothing and having this awesome YouTube channel and having some of we have a video called The History of WWF Hasbros, which I think is the end-all be-all on that toy line, which is our favorite toy line, which launched our love for professional wrestling. And I think that's like, you know, the best piece on those things. And that's on YouTube. And I'm very proud of that. you know, we worked very hard on that. It's like almost 4 hours. So, you know, and then working in film, you know, working on the documentaries with Marshall. I'm sort of blessed with all the things that I've been able to do in my life and keep doing things that I love.
Well, we're very, very happy to have you part of AEW, Mark. You do a great job on many levels. Thanks for your time today, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
And Aubrey?
I will close us out. You can listen to this and other episodes of the podcast every Thursday morning on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can watch the video and see all of the amazing figures in Mark's background Mondays on YouTube. You can watch also on YouTube Dark Elevation on Mondays and Dark on Tuesdays. You can watch Dynamite Wednesdays on TBS at 8 o'clock, 7 Central. And you can watch Rampage TNT 10 o'clock, 9 Central every Friday night. This is Aubrey Edwards and Tony Schiavone with Mark Sterling Esquire. Thank you for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, space pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they're bossing, and the freaks are coming out.